Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player.
This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're predicting the winners for the 88th Academy Awards.
What the heck was that?
I don't know, but it works out for me. It sounded great.
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello! Friday, hello! Friday evening, hello!
Yes, Out Now is a film podcast, which is Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. However, I'm just going to get right into it. This is not a regular episode. It's not a commentary episode. It's Oscar season. And, it's time to put our money where our mouth is in this contest that has no monetary value and lay out our predictions for the Oscars. And joining... me and Abe to discuss the Oscars and our predictions for said Academy Awards ceremony, the 88th, in fact. We have from Awards Circuit, not from Brooklyn, it's Mark Johnson.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
From Fast Film Reviews, from Under the Bridge of Spies, it's Mark Hoban.
Hi everyone.
And from the Newport Beach Film Festival, Under the Spotlight, it's Miss Anna Bosch.
Under the Spotlight. That's funny. Hi everyone.
Hello.
How are all of you doing today?
I'll answer all at once.
Pretty good.
Hey. You're all dreaming gold.
Yes.
You've been properly brainwashed. Good.
Yeah.
We are all ready for the Academy Awards here as far as we laid down what do we think are going to win, and we are going to lay out our predictions. We obviously probably have some ones that we want to win, and we can get into that pretty quickly. But just some show notes real quick here. This is a bonus episode, but with that said, we do have an Oscar contest up. I understand that there's a little, there's a short amount of time between when this episode goes up and when the Oscars is actually happening, but this episode will be posted pretty quickly by the time we record it, and you still have the rest of the weekend. So, as I stated on last week's podcast, which we talked about The Witch, we have an Oscar contest going. Basically, any listener who's not been a part of this show can email in at outnowpodcast@gmail.com your thoughts on who's going to win Best Picture, Director, and the four acting categories. The person that gets the closest to naming all of these exactly right will win a prize. I will limit this contest to North American contestants, but that's it, because shipping is expensive.
International guys, we'll give you a pat on the back, and maybe we'll send something out to you later when we have money.
Yes, but feel free to email in anyway, just because we want to hear what you guys think are going to win the Oscars. But yeah, that is the contest that is currently going now. We'll have a future contest as well, because I have tons of prizes to give away, guys. I am the Willy Wonka of podcast Blu-ray prizes right now.
So we get nothing?
Yeah, I just roll over pretending like I'm old and crippled, then I get back up and just fling Blu-rays at you. It's wild.
Dangerous.
Yeah. So, with all that out of the way, Oscar contest, it's going. It's going to happen.
It is happening.
It's an action. Yeah. It's going. Mm-hmm. Bonus episode. We're talking Oscars. Before we get to the categories where we each go over what we think is going to win, any thoughts in general on the Oscars this year, guys?
Pretty tough to predict.
It is.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy year.
Yeah, it obviously we have a couple front runners in certain categories, some that even seem like locks, but very few compared to some years. Sometimes right. It just seems like even the safe bets don't seem that safe this time around.
Right.
That's true.
And we're going to get into it here. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We are looking forward to the Oscars, of course. I mean, that's why we're doing this prediction show. We've hastily assembled together our predictions to do this podcast. But I mean, as far as looking forward to watching the ceremony, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing Chris Rock hosting.
Definitely, I want to see what the jokes that he's going to bring. Mm-hmm. I'm open game. I'm fair game for everything. So, big fan of what he did last time too. I'm a big fan when they have comedians host. And I think that they've traditionally had much better success with comedians hosting.
I mean, they didn't get comedian Matt Damon there or Ridley Scott. But, I mean, besides that, not all the others.
Well, the Foreign Press Academy or the Foreign whatever they're called, they couldn't make it.
Right.
Don't forget, The Martian is a comedy.
I laughed when he scooped up his poop and made potatoes.
That's why it can't win Best Picture, guys. Comedies just don't win these awards. All right. Speaking of The Martian, let's get to our first category here. I'm going to read the category, and I'll name the names of everybody who wants to pick, and then we'll just go over some brief discussion before we move on. So here we go. Achievement in visual effects, best special effects. Here we go. Ex Machina, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, or Star Wars The Force Awakens. Mark Hoban, what's your pick?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Mark Johnson, what's your pick?
Star Wars : The Force Awakens.
Abe.
The Revenant.
Anna.
Star Wars, colon, The Force Awakens.
I also have Star Wars, colon, The Force Awakens.
A lot of Star Wars love here.
It's, again, already right off the bat, this is tricky. Like, it seems like if it's a sweep for The Revenant, which it
that's
could
what
be,
I'm thinking.
If it's a sweep for The Revenant, which it could be, it could easily take this. That's it. Yeah. It could also be an easy sweep for Mad Max as far as technical awards go.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's Star Wars, right? There's like a...
If they wanted to give an award to Star Wars, would it be in this category?
Well, of the two...
Yeah. I just don't think there's enough Star Wars love to give it this award. And I think Mad Max is nominated for Best Picture. It's got a ton of nominations, and the special effects are pretty spectacular.
They are very good, yeah.
It's a mix of that, and it's practical and CGI for that, but it's the same for Star Wars. And it's just, I feel like if they're, for me personally, it just seems like if Star Wars, you know, everyone saw this movie. Everyone generally liked this movie, or at least admired the kind of value, the production that went into it. And I feel like if there's one category to honor the film in,
yeah,
I think that would be it. Again, it's, you know, it kind of is a toss-up here. With that said, with the rec, because obviously, you know, Best Picture winners are a pretty good bet for some of these categories. But
that's kind of what I'm putting my beans in, so to speak, is if The Revenant wins for some of the larger categories, then it's going to be a larger sweep for that movie. And, I mean, visually, there are some stunning things in The Revenant. It's not.
There's
like,
also horrible things. I mean, the buffalo scene in The Revenant's terrible. Like that's.
Yeah, and the horse shooting scene isn't all that great either.
Like it just legit looks bad, as opposed to these other categories where nothing looks bad in these movies.
Like, and then the only thing that's going for The Revenant, like if Yuri said, like the horses and stuff like that, the buffalo is bad. The only thing, like we talked about before, is the bear. Like that's the only thing visually for The Revenant, like visual effect.
But the bear is the most talked about scene of the year. And
right, they had to put an article addressing that that Leo wasn't getting raped by a bear,
right?
Because of some blogger that wrote that he was. They're right? Like, no, he's not.
I don't remember that blowing. It's just crazy. But yeah, like it's just like it seems like, in a way, Star Wars. Like I'm agreeing with Aaron with this one because it's true. Like I don't know. I don't really see The Revenant of anything. Mad Max. Would be one.
Max is a pretty strong contender.
It is a strong contender, and it's a Best Picture nominee, so it's hard especially it's my favorite movie of last year, so it's hard to be like, this is the one that it's not gonna win. Uh-huh. But
I'm curious now.
It's because it's not just like Star Wars was successful; it's the biggest movie like almost ever. Like I mean,
but the success doesn't mean anything. I mean, Avatar did not win Best Picture simply because it was the biggest picture of the time.
It
I don't
won Best Visual Effects.
That's a different story when we're talking picture, but I think because Star Wars was so successful, that's kind of where I lean toward why I kind of chose it was that, and BAFTA it got the visual effects for BAFTA.
Right.
It won a lot of special effects categories in the special effects awards areas.
Right, the VES awards.
I think it's because it seems like the effects are very, suffice to say, obvious in Star Wars in a way where they're good effects, but you realize they are effects. Whereas I feel like Mad Max, there's a lot of practical stuff there where I'm not necessarily sure if that's a way to kind of.
I think there's a lot of respect for those kind of practical effects.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the films that were coming out from those folks showing the visual effects and how they were done. I didn't realize that Mad Max, there was a lot of effects done on it while they're using practical.
It's a lot of just background stuff, essentially.
Right, it's all the atmosphere and the look of the mountains and whatever else.
Australia, unfortunately, hasn't had a sand fire tornado in like 40 years, so it's hard to really capture those.
That was fake?
Yeah. All right, we're talking a lot about what category. We got like 23 more to go. All right. Okay, here we go. We're already going to get into another probably debate about this one. Achievement and sound mixing. Bridge of Spies, Mad Max, Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, Star Wars The Force Awakens. Mark Hoban?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Mark Johnson?
The Revenant.
Abe?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Anna?
The Revenant.
I have Mad Max. Now, this is a flip of a coin for me.
Between those two.
I have nothing to add here except that in sound mixing, generally this is the category where if there was some kind of musical, you'd feel like there'd be a nomination there, and it'd likely be the winner. Last year you had Whiplash, for example, which is not a musical, but it's heavy instrumentation involved and whatnot. And you know, you have in the past something like I believe Dreamgirls won for the year it was nominated against like a lot of special effects, like big heavy action with like Spider-Man 2 and whatnot. this year, I kind of assumed that Straight Outta Compton actually was going to get a nomination here, and I was kind of shocked that of all the categories, it got screenplay but not sound.
It got screenplay, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
we'll get to that.
A little bit of a larger category. In any case, yeah, not much to add here. I mean,
yeah, we're both.
It sort of is the same argument that we had in the visual effects.
We either have Mad Max or The Revenant, and one of those is probably going to be the winner.
Right.
Yeah.
Surprise, it's going to be The Martian.
We'll go over the next. or Spielberg Love just comes in and just bridges by and still works.
What sound mixing? The rain falling? Maybe.
Well, it got nominated, so someone heard something. All right, next category. Achievement in sound editing. Mad Max, The Martian, The Revenant, Sicario, or Star Wars? Hoban.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Johnson.
The Revenant.
Anna.
The Revenant.
Abe.
Mad Max Fury Road.
And I have Mad Max as well. So I don't think any of us are predicting a split here. We all
right.
have the same thoughts on mixing and editing, correct?
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
I guess there's, I mean, same thoughts I think basically apply. I guess, you know, what, a couple years ago there was a tie with, what, Zero Dark Thirty and...
Skyfall
for, like, in which... Are ties, Mark, do you know this? Are ties often happening in these?
No, I think there's like 6 total in the history of the Academy Awards, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you can't bank on a tie happening. So, it's just like basically a flip of a coin here. Nice,
Johnson,
Sicario.
I have a question about sound editing. When you're listening for sound editing, what are you listening for in The Revenant? This is just more for an educational thing.
In sound editing?
Yeah.
Well, you got... So sound editing a lot of times is still thought of as sound effects editing.
Mm-hmm.
It was what it used to be called. So you're looking at like the bear scenes or in the opening, that one scene where the Indians first attack them on the river, mm-hmm. and all those arrows are whizzing by and whatnot. I think that's where you're mainly getting your sounds from on that.
Got it. Okay.
Which is, I mean...
It is pretty good.
It's why, you know, Star Wars is also maybe a dark horse contender here. I mean, Ben Burtt knows what he's doing. I know the name Ben Burtt because of Star Wars.
Yeah, I think...
I was like, who the hell is Ben Burtt?
I think Star Wars is no joke in the sound categories, especially if it takes visual effects. I could see a scenario where it takes all three of those.
I mean, no other movie has a sound as iconic as a lightsaber, for example. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that is the kind of thing that Star Wars movies, you know, can get. But again, Best Picture nominees. Mm-hmm. Hard to go against them.
And just to add to like what Mark was saying, like sound editing ends up being like things that's away from the film is being shot. So they do everything that's like offset. And then
like
mixing,
Foley effects. And
yeah,
things
and
like
then
that.
Mixing is like, for example, sound editing would be like R2-D2 sounds, you know? And
I think you mean BB-8.
Or BB-8.
Bill Hader's gonna win.
Mixing is adding John Williams to BB-8 in the background, essentially, and making those two things work.
Yeah, like last year's best sound went to Whiplash, and best sound editing went to American Sniper. So that kind of gives you an idea of like that's a time when they went to different movies.
Yeah, which is why like in musical when like musical or music oriented films come out, mixing is a big win for them generally because it's about balancing the different instruments, balancing the dialogue or vocals or what have you being heard, balancing whatever score might be there. It's about balance. Mm-hmm. As a person that reviews Blu-rays on a weekly basis, who has to listen for sound and rate these things, I've come quite attuned to this kind of understand. Not, you know, to an expert degree where I can make Academy Award predictions necessarily, but I mean, I get what.
Oh,
it's
no, you're an expert.
Fair enough.
Okay. I've seen your card.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. I was trying to be modest. All right. Here we go. Next, this gets tough again. Best live action short. Ave Maria. Day One, Everything Will Be Okay, or Alles Wird Gut, Schock, or Stutterer. Yes, I took German. Mark Hoban.
Schock.
Mark Johnson.
Stutterer.
Abe.
Schock.
Anna.
Schock.
It's like Abe's like going for it this year. He's not making wild picks. He's actually trying. I like this so far. I am also going for Schock.
Wow, that's interesting. There's sort of a favorite in this category, and none of us picked it.
Yeah,
is that one are you referring to?
Well, Ave Maria is the one that has sort of been picked. I've seen all of these, so there's no way that I'm like, I mean, it could still win, but it's so like forgettable. And Shook has more weight behind it, in my opinion.
It's pretty emotionally intense.
Now, Mark, you went for Stutterer. Do you think it's because of the simplicity away from the darkness of some of these other ones?
So, yeah, I also saw these, and to be honest, Shook and Stutterer were the only two that kind of stood out.
Mm-hmm.
Stutterer reminds me, a few years ago, there was a live-action short, I think it was called God of Love or something
yes.
like that.
Right, it's lighthearted. I totally thought the same thing.
And I wanted to take that then, too, but kind of was like, they won't go for it, it's too light. And so when it won, it kind of, you know, pissed me off, as the shorts usually do. So I figured I might as well go with it this time. So
yeah.
But Ave Maria, I think, is also comparatively light, but also topical, which I think is why it's a front. It seems to be as emerged as a front runner.
It's just not very good.
It's just not enough. I actually think Stutterer could win this category, but more so than Ave Maria.
Yeah, I thought it was. I have seen all of these as well. Good for us, by the way. 4 out of 5 of us have seen all the shorts in this category.
Yeah,
pretty good, guys.
But I do agree. I think Ave Maria is kind of the weakest of the bunch here.
It is.
That said, I think Mark and I both agree, and I believe Anna, unless it's Shook, that Everything Will Be Okay is probably the best one of these. But I don't think an Academy member would really want.
I don't know if you mean
it's
me.
It's too dark.
I love that one.
It's too dark. It's too rough. I don't know.
It is. It is. It's just, yeah, I understand.
It's possible.
As a father, Mark, I guess you not being as like. Oh.
Yeah, it was tough.
It's a tough one. I was incredibly stressed by watching that one. I was I think I even paused it at one point. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't like it very much.
But I kind of had the same feelings as Mark Johnson about like going for Stutter because of its light. But I remember watching these shorts with you and going over. I'm like, but Shook just stuck with me more than the rest of them. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
All right. Next up here, we have Best Animated Short, Bear Story, Prologue, Sanjay Super Team, We Can't Live Without the Cosmos, and World of Tomorrow. I thought I was reading World Tomorrow. That's why I got confused for a second. There's two W's, guys.
Yeah.
Mark Johnson.
I went with World of Tomorrow.
Mark Hoban.
Sanjay Super Team.
I have World of Tomorrow. Abe.
World of Tomorrow.
Anna.
Bear Story.
All right. So
some diversity in this
little
category.
Mixes here. I feel like those the three that we've named are all the ones that are likely to win.
Right.
I think so too.
Right.
It was so hard not to choose World of Tomorrow, but
I really am banking on the Academy being cool enough to go for World of Tomorrow.
That's my personal favorite.
And this is of all these categories of this entire race, this is the only one that I'm basically going with my heart on. Like I feel like
interesting.
I think one could easily go with Sanjay Super Team because I feel like the kind of the personal story that's going on here might be able to win over Academy members, but and that's not to say none of these stories are also personal. It just feels like this one, Sanjay's, is the most like it's seemingly obviously personal just because like a guy and his dad are actually in the short.
I was just going to say, I think Sanjay, World of Tomorrow, I love because it's my favorite and there's something to it. But Sanjay's Super Team is beloved by a lot of people as well. So
is it, though? That's why I'm wondering.
Because it has this sort of like it's different for Pixar to do and it is such a personal animated short for the animator. And you have him and his father at the end. And
but I
think that is going to speak to some people.
I keep wondering, though, if that's more like admiration that it got made over the quality of it, though, because I agree that there's a lot of people that admire the fact that it's a very personal story. But are people that really like loving it compared to like other Pixar shorts?
Yeah, we saw it in Telluride in front of Hinami Malala, and the audience was pretty loud about it there.
Hmm.
It also played. It's the most widely seen of the group because it played in front of Good Dinosaur, and that doesn't.
One of Pixar's lowest grossing movies.
Right, but that doesn't hurt it. You know what I mean?
It doesn't hurt it. Yeah, I mean, World of Tomorrow's been available in addition to wherever shorts can be seen. It's been on Netflix for quite
some
time.
It's been on Netflix. Yeah, that's it's
made a lot of
statement.
Splash, not only as an animated short, but as just one of the best films of the year in general. Like,
I agree.
Top 10 list. With...
Yeah, I had already created my top 20 list before I saw it and was already on my countdown. But once I saw it, I was like, damn it, that would have made my list if I would have seen it sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Anna, you've picked Bear Story, which to me feels like the Mr. Hublot of this year as far as the kind of what kind of movie it is.
Mr. Hublot.
And as some of us...
The one that left you off the top tier.
Win.
As we were talking off a little bit before, like the short film categories, and just like the rest of this year, it can go either way. Because I was decided between World Tomorrow and Bear Story, and
which also feels like a personal film. Like it feels like there's this, like it has an emotional story with a kind of unique animation style.
And it is animation, so I'm like, I mean, clearly the all animation, but like the animation in that one stuck with me the longest when after we watched it.
Different.
We can all agree that it's not going to be prologue.
This is very true.
It's definitely not going to be prologue.
But even prologue, I wrote a little review of each of these, and even that, the name is like something unfinished. It's like, oh, this is a prologue. It's not even done.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe next year.
It was a placeholder. They're like, let's just submit it.
I hope that next year we get an animated part two, and it's the sequel to prologue.
Epilogue.
All right, let's move on. Let's get to the next category. Going to jump away from shorts for a bit. Achievement in production design. We have Bridge of Spies, The Danish Girl, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, and The Revenant. Abe.
It was kind of hard this category because, I mean, The Danish Girl looks pretty... I'm going with The Revenant.
Okay.
I was like, wait a minute. I'm breaking the rule that we
You're breaking the rules, yeah. Mark Johnson.
Mad Max.
Mark Hoban.
Mad Max.
Anna.
Mad Max.
I have Mad Max as well. Abe, what were you saying?
I was going to say, The Danish Girl looks pretty good. I mean, the production design, the costume design looks also really good. But this category is difficult because, again, Revenant has, sure, they made some of the scenes. They shot it in where did they shoot? Like Utah or something?
They shot in Canada and eventually Canada, Argentina.
Yeah, and so all live, outdoor, natural lighting with these costumes and
lack of production design. I would say.
I see what you're saying. Maybe I'm mistaking it for a different category.
No, I mean, it's nominated. It's not like it's a bad choice. It is one of the five nominees of the
But I mean, when you look at the production out of Mad Max Fury Road 2, I'm just like, this is a phenomenal movie with production design. And it was kind of hard for me to choose, is my point.
Which is why I believe all of us chose Mad Max. I feel like the production design is very, suffice to say, obvious, where you have like these cars they built out of nothing and these crazy sets to depict this apocalyptic world. Obviously, you have something like The Danish Girl, which is a more traditional kind of choice for the Oscars as far as like a period drama. Same with Bridge of Spies. And let's not forget that Lincoln, I think, snuck in a win a couple years ago of Lincoln.
Yeah.
Or I think, did I say that? Spielberg snuck in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
a lot of words writer for Lincoln, so I get
But no, like production design and costumes kind of be a little iffy because you do think back of how the Oscars think about period pieces.
Yeah.
But I'm going for Mad Max, like you're saying, because of the element of building something from scratch, basically, and like
with no reference points.
Exactly. I don't think this one is close. I mean, I think this is pretty decisive.
Runaway?
Mad Max.
I feel like it's a safe bet, I would say, but it's still.
If Mad Max does not win this, that'll be kind of a shock. I mean,
guys, I think you guys misheard me. I said Mad Max Fury Road. I didn't say The Revenant.
If you want to change your pick, this is the time to do it. Do you want to change your pick?
No, I'm sticking with my guns.
I'll tell you what, Abe. Though the if you're not picking Mad Max, The Revenant's the one I would take.
Yeah.
A lot of times the film with the most nominations wins this category. 9 out of the last 15 years.
Oh wow,
that's good trivia.
I will go on record as saying in every single category on this list, if you don't go with Mad Max, go with Revenant. If you're going with Revenant, go with Mad Max. It's like one or the other.
For these technical awards,
it'll be a battle between the two.
What gets me is everything I pick for The Revenant, it's basically like if Mad Max wins instead, which seems like the likely happening if the Revenant doesn't win something in technical awards, I'm not upset about this because it's Mad Max.
Yeah,
so it's like,
exactly.
I don't feel bad for that reason, but... Yeah, it's like it's hard to go with like what I want to win on a lot of these, even though it does seem like legitimate op choice that Mad Max could win them.
Yeah.
All right, next up, achievement in music written for a motion original song. These elaborate whatever.
I'm like, wow, you're really reading the description.
Earned it from 50 Shades of Grey. But is that The Weeknd? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, I have the like exact people involved, so it's like it gets very hard to like determine. Manta Ray from Racing Extinction. One of the we all saw that one. We all heard that song. We all know what it sounds. We all have, we can sing the chorus right now. We're not going to.
I actually did see Racing Extinction.
Simple Song Number 3 from Youth, one of Mark's favorite films of the year.
No.
Neither of you. I know.
I thought you were talking about me.
I am talking about you. I was talking
about... Oops, my bad.
No, it's fine. I had a feeling that neither of you liked the movie, but I know Mark Hoban doesn't. Till It Happens to You from The Hunting Ground, and Not Sky. I mean, Writing on the Wall from Spectre. All right, Abe.
I have no idea with this category, so I just went with Simple Song 3 from Youth. Because I feel as though that's probably... Oh, right.
Mark Hoban.
Till It Happens to You from The Hunting Ground.
Mark Johnson.
Till It Happens to You.
Anna?
Till It Happens to You.
I have Till It Happens to You.
Damn it!
This is the Lady Gaga song with music by Diane Warren. It seems like it's going up against Spectre, as far as which ones could really take mm-hmm. this. With all that said, this has got to be one of the weakest years for best song, I feel.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
In a while. I feel like the last few years, I've gotten something pretty good. I mean, I love the Skyfall song. Let It Go is a song that I didn't get sick of.
Skyfall was so strong, and if you compare Writings on the Wall to that, it definitely pales in comparison.
Yeah, and it's won all these awards, and it confuses me. It's like, what
You mentioned Diane Warren. I don't know if you said how many times she's been nominated and never won. I think this is her eighth nomination, never won, so that's kind of in its favor.
You have Lady Gaga here as well.
Roger Deakins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That one, that song.
13 nominations.
That song's been promoted a lot.
The problem for people like Deakins and Diane Warren is their names are the below the line awards, the names aren't listed on it.
Right.
It's just the song and the movie, or the movie if it's cinematography and whatnot. Hmm. So that's a tough point. It's too bad they don't put their names on.
With Simple Song number 3, which I do like that song.
That
song is fine.
I like the song quite a bit. That will probably be the ending music of this podcast, but I should note that it's the one song that they're not going to perform during the Oscars.
Aren't there two?
Manta Ray.
Yeah, Manta Ray.
The two that aren't done by stars, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They don't have time for it.
So you can kind of... Not to put you down, but that seems like a good hint that they're probably not going to win that time.
I know.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they were going to win, then they would say, we want you to perform it. So it's almost like they're saying, we don't have any faith in you.
Yeah. Oh,
it'd be fantastic if one of them won, though.
It would be, actually.
It would.
Just say like, they couldn't make it tonight.
So stupid.
Yeah, or like Eminem's there to present it, so he takes it home just to like have fun with that. All right, let's go to the next one. Achievement in music written for a motion picture. This is original score. Bridge of Spies from Thomas Newman. Tom Noonan from Anomalisa. He's back with a score for Bridge of Spies. Thomas Newman for Bridge of Spies. Carol from Carter Burwell. The Hateful Eight from Ennio Morricone. Sicario from Johan Johansson. And Star Wars The Force Awakens from John Williams. Anna?
I'm going to go with The Hateful Eight.
Mark Hoban.
Ennio Morricone for The Hateful Eight.
Abe?
Hateful Eight.
Mark Johnson?
Hateful Eight.
I think we all got this one down then. Okay, Ennio Morricone for The Hateful Eight. Harvey Weinstein does a lot of promotion. didn't pay off for him so much with Carol this year, it seems. But he did do a lot to get an Ennio Morricone, lots of attention. So it seems kind of clear that he's going to... Ennio Morricone, he's quite old. He already has a lifetime achievement, yet he came out of basic retirement to do this film, and people love it.
And he did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good score.
It's a pretty good score.
It's No It Follows.
You're right about that, but there was a scene where they're putting up the poles to the outhouse.
It is a great score. I'm partially kidding, although I do think It Follows.
But you had mentioned that, you know, it mixes that whole entire, what's the vibe from John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's pretty. That's a cool trivia tip too.
I'm surprised the Academy didn't go out of their way to try to disqualify Ennio Morricone. Actually, it seems like this is one of their times where they'd be like, you know what, you use some music from something else, so here's one of our crazy rules that you never read before until now. So
sorry.
On page 1000.
Like honestly, I was surprised. Like, oh, good, he made the cut. They didn't like have one of those crazy rules that got him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And Williams' weakest Star Wars score somehow up here. That's great for him.
Yeah.
All right. Achievement in makeup and hairstyling. We have Mad Max Fury Road, The Revenant, and The 100-Year-Old Man Who Climbed Out of a Window and Disappeared, my favorite title of the year. Mark Hoban.
Mad Max.
Mark Johnson.
Mad Max.
Abe.
Mad Max.
Anna.
Mad Max.
Okay, so it's a Mad Max sweep here as well. That's what we're going with. So we're saying that Shiny and Chrome beats out Scraggly and Beardly.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying.
Leo's mucus nostrils on his beard, that's not doing it for anybody as far as makeup and hairstyle.
Why are there only three nominees in this category?
There generally are only three nominees.
There's always three. I don't know why. I don't know the reason behind that, but it's always three for makeup.
But just the ones they chose is kind of interesting.
I mean, we all saw the 100-year-old man who climbed out of the window and disappeared, and we were like, that's great, but...
It's, I mean, I didn't
it's
find
pretty
it.
Good movie. It's,
is it? All right.
Have you guys seen it? It's pretty good.
I haven't
is
seen
it.
It.
Where is it from?
It's English. No, it did have some subtitles, too. I don't know where it's from.
It's good?
Is it? Yeah, but it was good. I enjoyed it.
Is it a fantasy? Is it a drama?
No, it's like old people escaping from, like, a nursing home.
Kind oh, it's of youth?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
It's as good as youth? All right.
It's better than you, I'll tell you that.
But that was my favorite title of the year, so I'm certainly intrigued. I hope I find it 1 year on Netflix. I'm like, hey, that's that movie that was nominated 3 years ago for Best Achievement in Makeup and Hairstyling.
Yeah, it has some. It has some English.
Oh, it's a Swedish film, by the way.
Swedish, okay.
Sweden.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we're all thinking Mad Max. Are you guys confident in this one, or was it something of a flip?
Oh yeah, I'm not confident at all.
I'm not confident. It goes back to Mark's comment. It's if it's not Mad Max, it's gonna be The Revenant.
Yeah, I think The Revenant has, I mean, the scarring and whatnot, and the bear attack makeup, like, oh, it's pretty damn good. So I could see it going to either one of them, and
that's
honestly,
true.
Even...
Well, I want visual effects Revenant. When he gets that bear attack, that's pretty visual.
I feel like I'm just going with what seems more obvious to me. Like, Mad Max just feels like screams obvious.
Yeah, Mad Max won critics, BAFTA, and even the Hair and Makeup Guild Award, so it's kind of taken everything in its path. That matters, but I don't know. I could see it going either way on that.
Yeah. All right. Achievement in film editing.
Oof.
The Big Short from Hank Corwin, Mad Max, Margaret Sixel, The Revenant, Stephen Maroney, Mirion, Spotlight, Tom McCardle, Star Wars, Marianne Brandon, and Mary Jo Markey. Mark Hoban.
Mad Max.
Mark Johnson.
Mad Max.
Abe.
The Revenant.
I have Mad Max. Anna?
Oh, this is the one I'm so still splitting on. I'm going to just go with, since he did Mad Max, I'm going to split on it and go with The Revenant.
Okay. There is logic to that as far as editing in the past generally goes with Best Picture, although not all the time.
No, yeah. But...
And there's also, I mean, The Big Short, I think, is pretty good contender.
Right, that's a pretty good Dark Horse kiss. Possible. The way that it was edited to keep you engaged and basically keep the movie going, pretty well done actually. So I wouldn't be surprised, but yeah, this is part of the Revenant sweep thing that I'm thinking.
I will say this: if The Big Short wins film editing, then it's winning Best Picture.
It seems like it tips it to winning Best Picture.
Exactly.
It's possible. Yeah. I think Max takes this though.
I think Max has the better narrative for this category. As they took like over 400 hours of footage, handed it off to George Miller's wife, and said, "Do this," and she made one of the best action movies ever made.
She sat in the basement and edited it all together.
Actually, if Spotlight won this award, then it's winning Best Picture. But I think Big Short is more likely to.
Well, yeah, if Spotlight pulls out, which would seem like a surprise upset if it won Best Editing, then definitely it's winning Best Picture, if that's the case. Like,
yeah,
I feel like there's no
Spotlight.
Question.
Or, you know, The Revenant, too. But with Mad Max winning this category, I don't necessarily think that means it's going to win Best Picture.
Oh, no, I don't either. But I feel like that falls into the more like the Bourne Ultimatum or The Matrix, which won these awards as well in the past. Yeah. And they're like big action movies where the editing is crucial to kind of. Making you understand the action taking place and whatnot.
Mark Johnson, were you going to say something about Spotlight?
Yeah, Spotlight's the only one of the nominees that wasn't nominated for the ACE, and that usually spells doom for winning at Oscar. So I don't think it's winning, but I'd love to see it win. That's what I'm rooting for in this category.
These nuggets of gold are why we have Mark Johnson and Terrence on the podcast.
Yeah.
You'd like to see Spotlight? Is Spotlight your number one? Is that where we're at?
Yeah. That's, yeah, Spotlight's my
I kind of figured I'd be tracking your like top 30 of the year.
On Instagram?
Yeah, that too. Instagram, Facebook, wherever.
All right. Next up, back to the shorts here. Best documentary short subject, Body Team 12, Chow Beyond the Lines, Claude Lanzmann, Spectres of the Shoah, A Girl in the River, The Price of Forgiveness. That sounds like a feisty romp right there. And Last Day of Freedom. All of these are just priceless when it comes to family entertainment value. Mark Hoban.
So again, I've seen all of these categories, and I'm going to go with Claude Lanzmann, Spectres of the Shoah.
Mark Johnson.
Claude as well.
Abe.
I guess I'm going to go with Claude.
This is the other one where I'm split on. Let's see. I'm going to have to go with I'm going to go with plot as well.
I guess I'm choosing Body Team 12, so this could make or break this contest.
Does that sound cool?
Body Team 12.
Have you seen these, Aaron?
I've only seen Child Beyond the Lines and The Last Day of Freedom because HBO has been stingy about their screeners, which is annoying.
Mm. Yep, same here. I was able to see the same two, and it's unfortunate because the ones that I wasn't able to see, I think, are the ones that
are the front runners. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those three are all HBO, and they will be on HBO in the coming months. But
I won't care anymore, Mark. There was no Oscars.
Exactly. The only time I care about short films is before the Oscars.
Except Anna will, though, because Anna does everything short.
I do, and like that was so hard because like I kind of wanted to be biased because like Last Day of Freedom was in the Newport Beach Film Festival last year, and like I still don't know if it was strong enough, but like. I had to lean towards something that's like kind of predictable in a way of like the Academy going for like, you know, the Holocaust films,
when
language film.
When in doubt, choose the Holocaust seems to be a lot of the logic for many people. I'm going to Body Team 12 because I do think, well, it again tackles, you know, dark subject matter, which all of these basically do.
Sound like they do.
But it's the shortest of the nominees, and I don't think the short film of personally of the five that are nominated, I think Body Team 12 is probably my least favorite. The ones I like, I mean, I really liked Last Day of Freedom, and no one's talking about that one.
I like Last Day of Freedom
Me
quite a
too,
bit as far as the way they kind of dramatize the story being told in a unique way, which is done through rotoscoping, essentially.
Interesting.
You know, heartfelt story that's being told by a man's brother.
The guy, I think that would have been interesting, just the guy talking. His voice is so, like, you're really into his story, and he tells a good story. But then, the additional added aspect of the animation kind of takes it to another level. So I really like that. And I actually, A Girl in a River is also reminds me of another film that won in this category a while back called Saving Face. It's by the same woman.
Oh, yeah.
And it has to do with... A
Girl in a River.
You know, it's Islam. Yeah, Islam. But what country is it? Is it Afghanistan? Not Afghanistan.
I don't remember. I just know it's Islamic women.
Yeah, it's very powerful as well. It's one of those things you'll think about after.
I like that. Right now, we're gonna have more conversation about these categories than we will about the acting. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. But, these ones are definitely the ones that are kind of difficult to go for, because like I think that will be my want is Last Day of Freedom.
Pakistan. It has to do with Pakistan.
Okay.
And women and their like sort of their place in the society, and it's powerful.
Oh
yeah. Well, I mean, like Mark said early on, it is kind of a toss of a hat for a lot of these shorts, so it's hard to really.
Yeah,
you never really. It seems always like, what's the Academy feeling that week?
A lot of times I try and go with the, you know, what the favorites are for these because they're just so unpredictable. But this year I kind of went on all three. I did not go with any of the favorites and kind of went with my gut on.
I feel like Show is the favorite in the short subject.
No, Body Team 12
is the. Body Team 12 is the favorite. And honestly, Girl in the River is like the second favorite.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I think Claude's kind of like the third, but again, it's the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back to that soon.
Good logic.
Here we go. Next category. Achievement in costume design. Carol from Sandy Powell. Cinderella from Sandy Powell. The Danish Girl from Paco Delgado. Mad Max Fury Road from Jenny Bevan. The Revenant from Jacqueline West. Abe?
Danish Girl.
Mark?
I changed this one kind of at the last minute. I'm going with Mad Max.
Mark?
Mad Max.
I'm glad you know which Marks I was talking about. Like, I was already looking at your like Skype icon and then looking at Mark Johnson's Skype icon, and you both responded exactly how I wanted. Anna?
Mad Max.
I am with Mad Max as well. I'm mainly going off of production design and costume design generally don't split too often.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my basic logic here. It's hard to go against period dramas, but Mad Max, it is, you know, if it sweeps up a lot of technical categories, which I'm kind of hoping it does, it seems like a viable pick.
And Mad Max didn't win the BAFTA, so that's a pretty big point in its favor, I think. I think everybody thought Cinderella was going to win BAFTA. So
that was my pick for, like, since seeing Cinderella.
Yes, that's what I meant by changing my – I was with Cinderella the whole time, and then Mad Max won BAFTA, and I went, okay, I'm changing.
So it sounds like I'm not alone, but to me this was the hardest category of all 24 to predict. Like what Mark just said, since seeing Cinderella back whenever that was, March, April. You just kind of knew that we're riding this to the end. That it's been in my number one spot since then. It's Sandy Powell. She's won three already.
She's beat herself before.
Right. Everything was lining up for Cinderella, but then Man Bax took the Critics Award, it took the BAFTA, and then it took the Costume Designers Guild Award along with Danish Girl. And Cinderella was left winning basically just the London Critics. So at the last minute, I changed this as well, and I was not happy about it. And I think on Oscar night, this is going to be the one area where I'm going to be.
It probably sealed the deal when at the end of the credits of Mad Max, Charlize Theron comes out wearing the same dress as Cinderella. It's like, well, it has that.
That's
too.
That's what so I mean, for the stinger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still think Cinderella wins this, but I couldn't ignore all the wins Mad Max had in this category. So.
I agree.
Wait. So what'd you say? Logical.
I said I still think Cinderella wins this, but
I forgot what you predicted. Did you predict?
I picked Mad Max. I couldn't ignore. I couldn't ignore its trail of victories.
Okay.
Well, right. I mean, Michael Keaton felt pretty silly when he didn't win.
Jenny Bevan is the one that's nominated for Mad Max. She's no stranger to the Academy Awards either. Right, she's been nominated 10 times. Wow. She won once for A Room with a View. Like, so
way back, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Next up. This is actually a fun, safe bet here. Achievement in Cinematography. Carol, Ed Lachman. The Hateful Eight, Robert Richardson. Mad Max Fury Road, John Seale. The Revenant, Emmanuel Chivo Lubezki. In Sicario, Roger, haven't won, don't talk about it, Deakins.
Yeah.
Mark Hoban.
The Revenant.
Mark Johnson.
The Revenant.
Abe.
The Revenant.
I have The Revenant. Anna.
I have The Revenant as well.
Okay, so we all think Chivo's going to lock up his hat trick here. Right?
Yeah.
He will.
I don't know what else to add. John Seale came out of retirement to make Mad Max. It's a great looking film among all of these films.
All of them look great. I mean, Sicario looks.
Yeah, this was a strong category. Yeah,
Carol's basically built out of cinematography. The Revenant is just. I mean, it's breathtaking to watch that movie.
The opening scene is fantastic.
I mean, just quite.
Those tracking shots from the water is fantastic.
You know? Yeah,
I'm happy. I know. Mark.
Did you guys know they use natural light too?
Yeah. It's crazy.
You guys are savvy enough to get that.
He used one of the cameras that was in gravity still in space to film a shot into the light. It's amazing.
That was the scene with the Tom Hardy fight, right? Oh, okay. All right.
You've marked upon the presentation in your review, Mark, for The Hateful Eight as far as the kind of the amount of effort put into use the 70mm format, and I'm happy that the Academy recognized what went into making The Hateful Eight. I don't think it's going to win, but as my number two film of the year, I am happy that it's here in some capacity.
Seen some recognition
for The Revenant. Yeah, again, third in a row, which has never happened is for a cinematographer.
So let's make history. That's what this is.
I mean, we can make history by giving it to Roger Deakins.
There's going to be a lot of history being made at this Academy Awards. Mm-hmm.
Specifically for The Revenant, probably.
Yeah, a lot of stats are going to be broken that night.
Next up, we have Best Foreign Film of the Year. Embrace the Serpent from Colombia. Mm. Mustang from France. Son of Saul from Hungary. Mm-hmm. Thebe from Jordan. And A War from Denmark. Mark Hoban.
Son of Saul.
Anna.
Son of Saul.
Mark Johnson.
Son of Saul.
Abe?
Son of Saul.
I have Son of Saul as well. Glad to see Abe actually stuck with a best a front runner here. And
exactly. I had been reading the news, and I think that you had described it, Aaron, the way that it shot and the content of it. I was like, okay, well, it's probably going to be Son of Saul. It's gotten a ton of stuff. I wanted to see Mustang. I didn't get a chance, so if anyone has seen it, I'd like to know your thoughts.
Yeah, Mustang certainly seems like the kind of the runner-up one. Here as far as what could actually take it.
It's a potential spoiler too. I mean, this category sometimes goes
foreign. Yeah, I mean, like I remember specifically, I think White Ribbon was like the heavy favorite.
Yeah,
and that lost.
The White Ribbon was the favorite, and A Prophet was like the second favorite, and then they both lost to The Secret in Their Eyes. I think it was.
Yeah, Secret in Their Eyes.
Oh gosh.
Which I just watched the remake of.
We just talked about the remake last week.
Yeah, it's not great.
The remake's not very good. Another big upset in this category a few years ago was Pan's Labyrinth losing to The Lives of Others. Yeah.
I think I'll always remember that because of how bitter I was about it.
Well, I was pissed off. I was pissed off on Oscar night, but then I saw The Lives of Others later, and I loved
it. Exactly what I was going to say.
It is a great film. I have no doubt. I have no problem with the fact that it is a great film. I still wouldn't necessarily say it deserved to win over it, but I am. I mean, it is
I would.
It is fantastic.
And I was pissed when it happened. So.
And I believe.
That's possible.
I had the exact same, experience. I was like, "What?" And then I saw it, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is so good."
Yeah.
With all that said, for this year, Sun Assault, it is the Holocaust film we were referring to earlier.
Yeah,
that's correct.
It does. For me, I caught the film after I did my top 10 and everything, but I truly love this movie. I think it's pretty fantastic for the way it portrays the Holocaust in such a kind of an approach that makes it seem just that much more tolerable to watch a movie about it than some of the other more recent Holocaust movies I've seen.
I've only seen Son of Saul and Mustang in this category, and my personal feelings is Son of Saul is much more deserving of this award. I mean, just my personal feelings. So I'm happy to pick it as the one that I think will actually win it.
And in addition to being the front runner, it is like one of the best reviewed films of last year. It won what did it win at Cannes? Did it win Palme d'Or?
I don't know what it won at Cannes, but it won a shitload of Critics' Choice Critics' Awards.
Oh, yeah. Right. The newspaper ads make me aware of that every time I see a Son of Saul ad, that it has just stacks of awards. Yeah, it did win some big award at Cannes.
It won the Globes and it won Critics' Choice. I don't know what it won at Cannes.
Which I believe, the White Ribbon, I think, took all those things as well.
It won Grand Prix at Cannes.
Okay.
Well, it won several at Cannes. It also won the Pressy Prize and the Francois Chalais Award.
That's my favorite one too. So I mean,
they've won a bunch of things.
It won the Vulcan Award apparently too.
If here's a little trivia for you: if Mustang wins this, it'll pass Italy for the most wins for any country at 14.
Suck it, Italy. we'll see.
Ciao.
We'll see. All right. Next up, we have Best Documentary Feature: Amy, Cartel Land, The Look of Silence, What Happened, Miss Simone? Yeah, I read it like a question. Winter on Fire, Ukraine's Fight for Freedom, the funniest of the bunch, easily.
it's a laugh riot.
Abe, pick?
Amy.
Mark Hoban?
Amy.
Anna?
Amy.
I have Amy. Mark Johnson?
Amy.
All right, so we're betting on the heavy favorite to win this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I've been hearing a lot of buzz about What Happened, Miss Simone.
I feel like the buzz is from Netflix promoting the hell out of that.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Is Cartel Land, is that Netflix also?
Yes.
It is on Netflix, yeah.
I think I saw that on Netflix. I don't know that it's produced
by, I know it's, yeah, I know it's on Netflix. I mean, I can't remember. But I know they put a lot of stock into the whole, let's promote our documentary. We know it's not a bad thing to do at all. I mean, I've certainly noticed the campaigns for it over and over again. But Amy, I mean, I believe it's like one of the biggest grossing documentaries in some time from a theatrical
perspective. Pretty darn good, too. And Asif Kapadia, he makes terrific documentaries that are very engaging.
Yeah, he lost for... Was he even nominated for Senna?
I don't know if he was...
No, Senna missed out.
He missed out, but that was a big favorite documentary from that year.
Yeah, it was a surprise that it wasn't nominated.
So now he's back here. Was it a Steve James situation? Did the Academy just not like him that year?
Possibly.
And then you have The Look of Silence, which is Joshua Oppenheimer once again making what I've only heard is a terrific doc. I haven't seen it yet. I have seen The Act of Killing, which I think is a fantastic.
Dude, I'll tell you, The Look of Silence might even be a tougher watch. It's pretty.
Oh boy.
Jeez.
It's pretty brutal.
It's probably why I've kind of avoided watching it.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah. Well, I am aware that it is, it has quite the high regard, but again, I think it's that brutality that kind of holds it back from being one that's accepted as being a big winner.
I mean, if Amy didn't win this award, then perhaps The Look of Silence would be the next one.
Cartel Land a lot too, though.
Yeah, I think you have a situation here with Amy and Miss Simone where those two could find themselves splitting. They're both musical docs, and mm-hmm. like you said, Netflix is pushing the hell out of it. If they do split votes, then yeah, I think Look of Silence comes in and could win it, but I think Amy's the heavy favorite going in.
All right.
I think we got through those ones, right? Those are like the doc features and shorts and a few other, like the doc short, the doc feature, and foreign language film tend to be the ones that are a little bit darker. And it's like, you want, sometimes like I'm looking through even like the short film anime too, is like you kind of in the live action where you want to go lighter, but it's like, will the Academy go lighter or will they be like more the gritty, like the harder subjects on things. Mm-hmm. So like it's been difficult going through those, but we'll see.
The docs for the past few years, I feel like they've been the lighter winners. Yes. Like, what was it? What won last year?
Last year was Citizen 4. That's a little...
Yeah, I mean, it's
But before that, 20 Feet from Stardom, Searching for Sugar Man.
Man on Fire.
A lot of musical.
Yeah, musical and like kind of like life story retrospective type docs, as opposed to some of the more tougher stuff. Even even Citizen 4, compared to some of the other docs from last year, it's not as, I don't know, as heavy, I guess, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, next up. That was mostly the tough stuff, guys. It kind of gets a little easier from here.
Yeah, it's a lot of locks from here.
Yeah, Best Animated Feature Film of the Year, Anomalisa from Charlie Kaufman, Duke Johnson and Rosa Tran, Boy in the World from Alain Abreu, Inside Out from Pete Docter and Jonas Rivera, Shaun the Sheep Movie, Mark Burton and Richard Starzark, When Marnie Was There, Hiramasa Yabunashiyasha, and Yoshiaki Nishimura. I feel like I nailed those. Yes.
That was... It's excellent, sir. Excellent.
Did anyone not click Inside Out?
Way to just cut through it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we got... I think we all... I mean, I like Anomalisa.
We're good there.
I like both of these films about the same, actually, as far as the favorites go, Inside Out and Anomalisa. But Inside Out, I feel like I'm in the minority of thinking it's merely very good and not, you know, the best thing Pixar has ever done ever, like some people seem to claim. But yeah, it has that kind of acclaim going into the awards. I don't feel like it's about to lose out right here.
I think it is a bit of a return to form.
Oh,
I've
certainly proved that for sure. Yeah,
yeah, they've been. There's a few years where they have been a little bit out of it, and they even won with.
Yeah,
with
somehow if Brave can pull off a win, then
exactly.
I know if the Peanuts movie would have been in here, I definitely would have gone for that one instead of Inside Out. But
really,
I guess it wasn't that great.
Yeah, we loved the Peanuts movie. We loved the Peanuts.
God, I hated the Peanuts movie.
What?
I think my favorite in this category, other than probably Inside Out, is When Marty Was There. I thought that was pretty awesome. Mm.
Mark, since you started talking about this category, all I heard is rah, 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 rah.
And yet he understood all of it.
All right.
Mark, you weren't a fan of Anomalisa, were you?
I was not.
Yeah, I wasn't. I appreciated it on a certain level, and I could kind of understand why people liked it, but I did not care for this film either. It was very misanthropic and depressing and not in a – I don't know. I didn't get it.
But the trailer said that it was the most human film of the year despite not being any humans in it. I mean, you're telling me
it is
human. Is lying to me?
But I don't know if it's the kind of humans you'd want to hang around.
I know. Yeah.
But they're real, man. They're real.
I just wanted to kick the guy toward the end. I'm just like, enough.
All right. Next up, we have Best Original Screenplay, Bridge of Spies from Matt Charman and the Coen Brothers, Ex Machina from Alex Garland, Inside Out from Pete Docter, Meg Lefebvre, Josh Cooley, Original Story by Pete Docter and Ryan Adele Carmen, Spotlight from Josh Singer and Tom McCarthy, Straight Outta Compton screenplay by Jonathan Herman and Andrea Berloff, story by Lee Savage and Alan Vankis and Andrea Berloff. Mark Hoban.
Spotlight.
Mark Johnson.
Spotlight.
Abe.
Spotlight.
I have Spotlight. Anna.
I have Spotlight as well.
So we're all, this seems like the lock for Spotlight, if he's going to win anything, right?
Yeah.
This is probably its only win, unfortunately.
Yeah, which is a shame. I agree. I do wish Spotlight would win. But
terrific.
We'll get to Best Picture, but I'm realistic enough to know that Mad Max is not going to win Best Picture. So if there was one that was going to win, I would have preferred Spotlight. But in that case, if it gets something, this heavily researched screenplay for Spotlight, I feel like is the one that, you know, it deserves.
Heavily researched, well written. Again, the editing in it is pretty great as well. If I wanted to choose what I would want to win, it'd be Ex Machina. Alex Garland does a really good job of three characters in this bottle film and asks a lot of very good questions during the movie.
That's right behind it for me. I'd certainly love to see. And even, I mean, again, I don't think Spotlight's going to lose this category, but, you know, when you look at films like Her or Eternal Sunshine, they're certainly kind of more out there in the way that Ex Machina could be considered. Mm-hmm. Same with Inside Out, for that matter, too, as far as if something could sneak up and win something out of Spotlight, which would be terrible for Spotlight. Those would probably be the ones, I would say.
But clearly, yeah, it looks like Spotlight.
Good job, White Guys, Straight Outta Compton, by the way. Way to get your All right, next up we have Best Adapted Screenplay, The Big Short, from Charles Randolph and Adam McKay, Brooklyn by Nick Hornby, Carol from Phyllis Nagy, The Martian from Drew Goddard, and Room from Emma Donahue. Mark Hoban.
Oh, The Big Short.
Mark Johnson.
The Big Short.
Anna.
The Big Short.
Abe.
Big Short.
I have Big Short as well. So we all, The screenplay ones, these do seem like kind of the locks of the night.
Yeah,
I feel.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
In addition to one or two of the acting categories, I think like those are the ones you probably can't miss on.
Yeah.
Although they do love Nick Hornby.
Yeah, it's just like, it's the whole thing with the run, like best picture, like we'll get there. But like my whole thought of like when I was doing these is like, okay, it's either The Big Short and Spotlight in these ones, because it's just like, you know, basically it was either The Revenant, Spotlight, or The Big Short.
For like best picture. So
yeah. So then, like, when you come down to like screenplay,
you don't have The Revenant anywhere.
No. And so, or
I mean, the screenplay just says grunting. So how much? You're not going to give it an Oscar for that.
That said, it would be pretty cool. I think. I mean, The Martian. Yes, its screenplay is kind of the highlight of that movie. I would say, as far as like how to handle that story, I think that's a huge factor in it. So that'd be it'd be a pretty cool win. That's
right. Well, what's neat about The Martian is, I mean, it was pretty well adapted. It basically just read like the book.
It even, I mean, Mark Johnson, you often talk about kind of the narratives that lead up to Oscar wins. I mean, the narrative for like The Martian, as far as kind of a self-funded book, that the way it was distributed leading up to a film deal and turning it into, you know, one of the biggest movies of last year. I mean, there's a lot there that makes a compelling story for why it could win. I don't think it will, but.
Right.
Yeah, the argument against it would be that Big Short took the critics, WGA.
Oh, yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah. Winning other awards.
It took everything that mattered, so yeah. I don't think it's close in this race.
Okay. Next up, we have Achievement in Directing. Adam McKay for The Big Short. George Miller for Mad Max Fury Road. Alejandro G. Iñárritu for The Revenant. Lenny Evrysim for Room. And Tom McCarthy for Spotlight. Abe?
Revenant.
Mark Hoban?
The Revenant.
Anna?
Alejandro Iñárritu.
Mark Johnson?
Revenant.
I have The Revenant as well.
be a nice, I mean,
second win.
I don't think that Tom McCarthy is gonna win.
I mean, you can kind of rule out McCarthy and Abrysim. I think that kind of seems clear. The Big Short for a while, there was a lot of tipping towards that to happen, where the man who gave us a street fight between rival news companies in Anchorman is now up for possibly winning an Oscar for Best Director.
I think we were talking about on the podcast, we're like, wow, he made a lot of offbeat comedies that had a story, and now it's just the real story in your face.
But DGA, right, Mark?
Yeah, the most accurate precursor to everything is the DGA, so bet against it at your own risk.
Yeah. And for a while, I was pretty confident in Miller, because like Ridley Scott didn't get nominated, so it felt like the vote wasn't going to be split. Then it was before The Revenant caught like more buzz than it had. And it's like Miller's are like, you know, a achievement kind of award coming his age, being a veteran, making, you know, making the best reviewed film of the year. I mean, there's a lot of things.
Yeah. But 90% of Rotten Tomatoes, I think.
Then you have Alejandro, who just won for Birdman last year, and like he didn't take a break, you know? So like, I guess that's what they're looking at too. And we talked about the joke with the natural lighting, but he has like.
Wait, was that natural lighting in The Revenant?
I heard something like that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, he comes back and like he has a second film that's being nominated for both himself as a director and Best Picture. So it could be a thing where he wins 2 years in a row.
Yeah, he'd be the first one to do it since 1950. So
yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, quickly, who was that guy? Mark Johnson.
Menkovitz.
There you go.
Is the other John Ford?
Yeah, the other one's Ford.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now we get to the actors. Performance by an actress in a supporting role, Jennifer Jason Leigh in The Hateful Eight, Rooney Mara in Carol, Rachel McAdams in Spotlight, Alicia Vikander in The Danish Girl, or Kate Winslet in Steve Jobs. Abe?
What?
Abe?
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mark Johnson.
Vikander.
Mark Hoban.
Alicia Vikander.
I have Vikander as well. Anna?
I'm going to just go the opposite and go with Kate Winslet.
Yeah. Right. This is, if there's one acting one that could surprise, I think it's this one with Winslet.
Mm-hmm.
Or just in general. I mean, it could
in
be.
In general, yeah.
It's a really hard one because I was going as well with Vikander or Winslet, and I'm just like, well, I'm going to just split it.
Has Vikander been winning everything?
No. So this is the interesting narrative here. And this is why I think this one's tricky is, Vikander's role really is lead, and so she was listed as lead for Globes and BAFTA. Mm-hmm. So Kate wasn't Kate won both of those because
without
wasn't
competition.
Against,
yeah.
Without,
yeah, from
her. Ah, interesting.
When they've gone head to head in the category, Vikander won both times with critics and SAG. But the narrative that I think is here, which makes me really interested to see what they'll do with Winslet, is Leo, with Leo most likely winning. And you've heard all the buzz and seen them at awards shows, you know, all the Kate and Leo love affair thingy. It'd be interesting to see if there's like a sentimental push to get them, you know, as winners in the same year. I don't know.
You know how stupid that sounds to me, though? That's why.
It does,
how,
but that's...
No,
I mean, it's like,
that
we want them to win because they were in a movie together a couple times. Like, yeah, what is that? It's ridiculous.
Love Jack and Rose.
Well, let's look at it this way, though. She's a deserving winner, too. She's
great. I agree. It's a very good performance.
Yeah, she's pretty great in that, and she's won some awards already leading up to it. So it's not... I'm not saying that's the only reason, but if you're on the fence and you're kind of 50-50 between the two, like... For me, my vote would go to Winslet in this category.
Yeah,
and
I wasn't really blown away by Vikander in The Danish Girl.
What's that?
I wasn't really blown away by Alicia in The Danish Girl.
I think she's great, and I'm okay with her winning, but I think she should have been pushed for lead.
People have won this category and have been leads. I mean, I would argue Jennifer Hudson was the lead of Dreamgirls, and she won, you know.
Yeah,
so.
It's a benefit. That's kind of the bull crap of it is. It's to their advantage that they had a lead.
Wait,
role.
Are your kids awake? That's why you said bull crap.
Yeah, I'm sorry. it's their advantage because there's more screen time, so it's more memorable when the voters go to vote.
Do you think they're also kind of like the runoff from Ex Machina and the praise for her in that film could also support?
Absolutely.
Good in that movie.
I think, yes, absolutely. I think Alicia Vikander is phenomenal in this role. And I think with this and then also Ex Machina, she was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was not as much seen. But she's
and The
kind
Seventh
of like,
Son, of course. Let's not forget that.
she's like the It Girl right now. And I think she's
moment. The It Girl. Yeah,
she's
no
got
doubt.
A new movie with Michael Fassbender, and that looks very good.
She was in, I think, like seven movies last year. If we like added,
yeah,
think,
she's the
think
Jude
like
Law
that.
This year.
Yeah, she's the Jude Law. This, I hope there's I can't wait for the Chris Rock joke. If you can't get Jude Law, get Alicia Vikander. basically, sorry, Rachel McAdams, right? But I mean, I agree with. I mean, this is of the acting categories. This does seem like the one that could like provide the biggest twist if something else happens.
Yeah, in a year this crazy, I'm kind of expecting something to happen, and I think if it's gonna, I think the other supporting category is very open for a spoiler there too, but this one to me seems real dangerous.
Maybe Tilda Swinton will just win for Michael Clayton again to rub it in your face.
I had that one.
Oh, all right. That's pretty good, yeah.
Next up we have performance by an actor in a supporting role, Christian Bale in The Big Short, Tom Hardy in The Revenant, Mark Ruffalo in Spotlight, Mark Rylance in Bridge of Spies, Mark Sylvester Stallone in Creed. a lot of marks.
Right.
Abe.
Sylvester Stallone.
Anna.
Sylvester Stallone.
Mark Johnson.
Yeah, I think so. I think Stallone.
The Italian Stallion for me and Mark Hoban.
Sylvester Stallone.
So we're all betting on the kind of career Oscar mixed with, hey, he's back playing that iconic character role that he didn't win for because Peter Finch died a couple months before the Oscars last time. that's where we're at.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. It's the Lifetime thing and also, yeah.
Do we think Mark Rylance would be the possible upset?
He is great in Bridge of Spies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks that, yeah, Rylance, but I got to be honest, I think the number two here is Bale. If Big Short goes on to win picture, where else is it winning? Mm-hmm. You got screenplay, possibly editing, and then
editing?
Is that it? You know what I mean? Is it going to be a three-time, you know,
those
three
big ones, though, as far as that kind of movie?
I think Christian Bale is the least likely to win.
I thought Tom Hardy
was going to be the least likely.
No, I thought, for as far as what Mark Johnson was, I thought Hardy was going to be his kind of supporting players.
No, I think Hardy's probably the five here. I think Bale, when you look at two who was nominated for SAG, there's only two people here that were nominated for SAG, and that's Rylance and Bale. So Bale got SAG, got BAFTA, and then also Globes, although they put him in lead in Globes. But he's been mentioned everywhere where it matters, and his film is, you know, what you could argue the one or the two.
Honestly, this is my own. This is my own personal feeling. I feel like Christian Bale got Idris Elba's spot.
Donation.
I mean, even it's among hard. The Big Short.
I don't know. I think Christian Bale is a great actor, but I don't know what he's doing in this
Even for The Big Short, even I feel like I got Steve Carell shot.
I thought Steve Carell was more likely to be nominated.
Yeah,
for
I was surprised.
He had a much
too,
larger, like, yeah. much more on-screen presence. Yeah.
He was nominated lead for Globes, but it was supporting the other two. I think Tom Hardy kind of stole Elba's, because Hardy wasn't mentioned anywhere except critics. He didn't get BAFTA.
He doesn't campaign or anything either. He just kind of like rolls right. in.
I think Tom Hardy's nomination is swept up in the Revenant love.
Yeah, exactly. That's because of that love, though.
I think that's what canceled out Idris Elba.
Exactly. That's what I think. And of course, we never know, so you can't really talk in absolutes. But that's my theory line, as well as the love fest for not only Leo but the film itself. Swept him in over Elba. If Elba was here, would you be predicting him?
I still wouldn't be.
I'd almost begrudgingly say I would, because the Academy feels bad about Elba being the only one nominated, the only person of color nominated for something.
Yeah. I think that's SAG.
Don't forget The Weeknd.
Sorry.
The Weeknd is there too.
Yeah, and 50 Shades of Grey, the blackest film of the year.
SAG win would have been maybe enough for me to think that to go Elba.
True. Okay. With that said, I mean, I think this must also was a factor too. With Spotlight, obviously the performances are understated, but I believe every single person in that film ran for supporting. So do you think they kind of canceled each other out?
Yeah.
With Michael Keaton going for supporting in the same as Mark Ruffalo,
But I think that was a good call, because they really, it's an ensemble cast.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't say that anyone's a particular lead in that film, but I don't think that necessarily helped as far as the awards race goes either.
For the first stage, it probably canceled each other out, but now Ruffalo's not against any of his castmates.
But, as far as leading up to a nomination, I can't think it.
So kind of similarly, the way that Bale possibly could win this, I think, and I don't see this happening, but if Spotlight somehow does all of a sudden become their film for Best Picture, where's that going to win, right? Is that just going to be screenplay, or is it going to pick up one other award along with it? I don't see it being editing. So if Spotlight ends up being Best Picture, I wouldn't be surprised if Ruffalo, because he's been around a while and a lot of people love
third
that
nomination.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does great dramatic work.
He is pretty, he's pretty fantastic. He has the biggest Oscar scene in that movie.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role, Kate Blanchett in Carol, Brie Larson in Room, Jennifer Lawrence in Joy, Charlotte Rampling in 45 Years, and Saoirse Ronan in Brooklyn. Mark Hoban?
Brie Larson.
Mark Johnson?
Larson.
Anna?
Brie Larson.
Abe?
Brie Larson.
So we got the Larson runaway here. It seems like a lock, right?
I think so.
From the category, yeah. I mean, I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know what the alternate is.
I really don't either.
I think it's Ronan. I know a lot of people are thinking it's Rampling for career and whatnot, but Ronan's film is the only other one of the four of the five that was nominated for picture. Mm-hmm. I would argue Ronan is
there.
I don't think the crazy old lady starts saying Oscars are racist against whites helped anything out. I don't think that was
I think that really helped her campaign though.
Yeah,
yeah. Right.
Is there any residual love for Blanchett? Do you think that could be like a sneak in?
She won, not that that's the only reason, she just kind of won.
Yeah, I'm just curious, because I wouldn't want anybody to destroy this for Brie Larson, because I think she was fantastic.
I think the same way that the supporting categories are kind of anybody's guess in a way, and that a spoiler in both of them wouldn't be surprising. I think it's the opposite for the lead categories.
If it's not Brie Larson, which I would love to see win it, and that if it is Saoirse Ronan, I would love that too.
I wouldn't be upset about that. I wouldn't be as upset. Yeah. If it was like a Jennifer Lawrence thing, I'd be like, what the fuck? It's like, Jennifer Lawrence love, and like Brie Larson.
I know, Mark, you're sitting in the corner because you love Jennifer Lawrence in Joy. I know.
Well, I did, but she's won a lot. I would much rather see Brie Larson or Saoirse Ronan win this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Lawrence is the five.
All right. Performance by an actor in a leading role. We have DiCaprio, right?
I defy you, Stars.
I have Abraham Atta.
Okay, Bryan Cranston in Trumbo, so Matt Damon in The Martian, DiCaprio in The Revenant, Michael Fassbender in Steve Jobs, and Eddie Redmayne in The Danish Girl. We all chose DiCaprio, right? That's the
thing. It is DiCaprio, but I mean, talk about omissions. I mean, again, Beast of No Nation, Abraham Atta, child actor. He was fantastic, what he had to do for that.
Yeah, I agree with you. He was pretty great.
But yeah, it's to get.
Is there? What's the second in this one? I don't know.
Fassbender.
You think it's Cranston?
No.
Or Cranston and Trumbo, right?
It's probably Cranston, but it should be Fassbender.
I agree, yes. I agree Fassbender in general. I think it's
yeah.
of this five.
It's my favorite movie of 2015. Yes. It's such a nuanced performance.
Was it really?
It was, yeah.
Oh, good. I love that one. I'm so pissed how underseen that ended up being.
I don't know how it didn't get a screenplay nomination. But
like, yeah. I don't know how it didn't get everything, but... You know, just nobody saw it, and kind of I call it the most underappreciated film of the year. But
it's the rush of 2015.
Yeah, it was my number. It was my number three of the year. So I'm a big fan.
It's my number four. I mean,
I don't know. I would actually think. Well, yeah, it's hard to say who would be second after DiCaprio.
I mean, comedian Matt Damon's doing his job. I mean, so he can really knock it out with those jokes.
I mean, the Academy does love Eddie Redmayne.
You can't really argue against whatever you think is number two. There's no argument against it because nobody's won anything except for Leo, really.
I mean, Harvey Weinstein didn't even produce The Martian, but he's been parading Matt Damon around at elderly homes to do his new stand-up routine. I mean, it's amazing. All right.
You can only play in the retirement homes?
Yeah. That's how Weinstein rolls, Abe.
Oh, okay.
Look into this. There's some neat stories about what Weinstein does to get wins. Best motion picture of the year. The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, Room, Spotlight. Mark Hoban, what is your pick for Best Picture of the Year?
The Revenant.
Mark Johnson.
Room. Just kidding.
Whoa! Yeah, you got me there.
Wow. No, I went Revenant.
Abe?
Revenant.
I have The Revenant as well. Anna?
The Revenant as well.
So, it's hard to pick against Best Director, right? I mean, in terms of splitting. I think
best
that's...
Director, Best Actor.
I hate the split.
The hardest to split.
And you know, the only thing I have to say is that the fact that the Producers Guild went with The Big Short was such a shock to me. And right after that happened, I thought The Big Short, like, was on track.
Well, yeah, you'd be right. You'd be right to think so. The PGA is the only other... awards body that does the same preferential ballot that Oscar does. So it's, since they've switched to that preferential ballot, the winner of PGA has won it every time at Best Picture. So it's definitely still wide open, you know, and it's crazy year because you have PGA going with one film, The Big Short, you had DGA going with another with Revenant, and then SAG Ensemble, which is not another big precursor for Best Picture, went to Big Short. So I don't remember the last time, and I
or Spotlight
this.
Right?
Yeah, or I'm sorry, Spotlight.
Yeah.
I don't remember, and I probably should have this stat somewhere, but I don't remember the last time that those big three guilds went to three different films. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's a crazy year.
That is pretty crazy.
And I mean, I've heard lots of things like Big Short and Spotlight could cancel each other out because of kind of the material they cover, and then The Revenant like wins because of this, or just because in general it gets swept up in winning everything. Or even, I believe, the New York Times put up that The Revenant, Big Short, and Spotlight all cancel each other out, and Room sneaks in as the winner.
I don't see it happening, but
it's like, you hear all these kind of theories about what would likely win, but yeah, it just seemed like The Revenant just mainly,
Room is the least likely. I think if those three cancel each other out, which they won't, because that's not how preferential ballot works.
Yeah.
But if it did, Mad Max, I mean, with all the love it's getting everywhere else, I would put that four, if anything.
So what do you guys think if Revenant does not win? What's second?
I guess the Big Short, right?
Yeah, you can't go against Big Short, I think, at that point. I'll be rooting all night for Spotlight, but I think it's Big Short, if not Revenant.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of Spotlight love. Also,
I mean, Spotlight love's been great. From the start. There's been Spotlight love. That was the front runner for like the longest time until kind
still
of
still playing in theaters.
And that's the one I feel like would go a second, if any.
I would love. I would hope. I hope you're right. I hope it's between those two.
I mean, I mean, The Big Short. The Big Short was like the Big Short almost doesn't belong here. Just like it happened to like be doing so well in testing that they're like, let's move it to Oscar season. Why not? And now it's like here's like one of the front runners. So it's. It's different. I mean, if you go, I guess, back, I mean, counting out like various critic award wins and whatnot, I mean, you go back, you look at something like Argo, which like was, you know, out of the front runner for a while, and then like things started tipping towards Silver Linings Playbook and Zero Dark Thirty, and then Argo still ended up winning out at the end of the day. I mean, there's things happen. I mean, this is we've talked about from the start, this has been a very tight and unpredictable race. Certain things just kind of lined up as like inevitable wins, but even Best Picture right now, it doesn't, as confident as we might be in like our picks for prediction wise, it's not a sure thing for this one. So I mean, we'll see, guys. We'll see what happens, and ideally there will be a good chunk of us back to do a recap podcast, you know, after following the Oscars.
Recap.
Thank you. But I know we'll certainly all be watching on Sunday nights, and we'll all be, you know, anxiously making fun of each other for various picks that we all got wrong.
Can you imagine if it's just all Mad Max instead?
I'd be thrilled.
I would be excited, but
I'd watch.
Well, I am picking my own personal picks. I am picking Mad Max to win the most awards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with 7.
I think I've read that with 6.
I think because I changed my sound awards at the last second, I feel like I think Mad Max is winning more overall now. I think it has like 6. But
it's been a while since we've had a Best Picture winner that won a ton of awards. I think the last one was Return of the King, but I wouldn't be too surprised if we see Revenant walking away with 8 or 9.
Because it is so, I mean, it's both kind of...
Yeah, it could happen.
It's the kind of epic that could kind of sweep up everything. I agree with you, Mark.
It's real big with the crafts. You know, it's won a decent amount of crafts. Art directors, cinematographers, directors, visual effects, sound editor, or sound mixers award. Like, it won a lot with the guild. So I could see it doing... I mean, I'm not calling for it, but like I said, makeup and visual effects, I think it's right behind Mad Max for those, and I could see it pulling those off and getting 8 or 9 instead of 5 or 6 if it were to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
Mark Johnson, who won Best Picture in 1955?
Marty.
He's good.
No.
He's good. 33.
33 was, so you, there's, there used to be a split year in the early years, so are you saying 32-33?
Oh,
32-33. 32-33, I think, is Cimarron or Cavalcade. It's one of the two. I always screw those two up. I think
68.
68's Oliver.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's enough.
99,
American Beauty.
I can do this.
All right, I trust you. You seem like you know your stuff. You got the job.
up to like 70, I think I'm pretty confident. All right. 70.
Patton.
What'd you say?
Patton.
Patton. Yes, you're right. All right. Okay, guys. I know we've been going. We got through all these categories. I'm very happy with this. I hope everyone that's listening chooses their favorite person as the one to follow for predictions. Me? I'm kidding.
Well, it's certainly not me.
This should be a fun award show regardless, because it's nice to not know what's going to happen for a change in pace.
It should be exciting.
Yeah. Before we go here, where can people find more of your guys' work? Mark Hoban?
You can find more of my work on my personal blog, fastfilmreviews.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter, Mark_Hoban.
Mark Johnson?
I write for awardscircuit.com, and Twitter is at MarkLikesMovies.
Anna Bosch?
You can find me on Twitter at WriteToRecite.
Abe?
OliverSmooth.blackspot.com, Twitter.com/OliverSmooth, #Marty!
You can find me at thecodazeek.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @AaronsPS4. All right, guys. Good luck to all of you.
Luck. Thank you, guys.
And we will see where things go. Until next time, we do the recap show, where we go over the winners and the award ceremony tonight. Abe loves talking about Best Dressed. It's all that's ever on his mind.
Yeah, it's pretty much. I'm on the red carpet, actually. I'm triumphing.
Yeah, and until then, we'll see where things go. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
I feel complete. I lose all control. I lose all control. I respond. feel.